Peter, Happy New Year.
Brian, welcome to the rest of your life.
Well, every day is the rest of my life, but happy 2017 to you and yours, my friend.
Right back at you. This is the first official show of 2017. Brian?
Yeah. Yeah.
How was it? How was your run? How was your run today, for sake, for stuff? For
Let things? Us not speak of runs.
Wow. So you're just never going to run again?
That's not true at all. I have run a bit here and there. I took a long time off after Millinocket. I think I've told everybody all about the little bits of exercise I've done here and there. But I'm ready to go out. What I'm ready to not do is go out on the road when the roads are not ready for me. If there's snow and ice, if it's dark, if it's too cold, I don't need to do it because I, sir, am not running the Boston Marathon. And that would be the only reason for me to be out there on the roads when it is inclement or otherwise not great conditions.
Well, now it's funny you should say that, Brian.
Well, I don't think it's funny at all, but it is true.
Well, it's funny to me because I need to be one of those people out there dodging snow plows and slipping on black ice because I am going to be running the 2017 Boston Marathon.
Peter, I'm so happy to be able to use the fanfare music again.
I've missed that music so much.
But I am also hold on. Let me grab those eyeballs off the floor and pop them back into their sockets.
Put them right back in, Brian. It's true. It's not a lie.
Wow.
It's not hyperbole.
You are running. How did this happen? You were not going to run this race.
It was never officially out of my mind, but...
You may be out of your
mind. I didn't really have any opportunities, but then one presented itself, and I've been very fortunate to have been accepted onto the Spalding Rehabilitation Team. So we shall see. I think it's going to be very exciting. I'm just starting week 2 of 16 of training, and everything is going along just fine.
Whoa. Wow. So from running every day in May to nothing to the Boston Marathon.
I mean, there was other stuff in there, man. I mean, let's not.
I guess there was.
That's kind of.
Look at you.
I don't know. I don't want to look.
Look at you.
I'm not happy with how I look. No, I'm going to look happier soon. Probably are by.
Are you going to trim your beard between now and the Boston Marathon?
I am not growing a marathon beard. I have a beard. It's going to be about this length the whole time.
What type of sneakers are you going to be running the Boston Marathon in?
That's a really good question. It's so funny you say that. I was actually thinking about that on a run I did the other day. I did a 4-miler, and I was like, these are nice. They're Brooks Beasts, and I also have a pair of Brooks
Beasts, the official sneaker of Clyde Army.
It is the official sneaker of Clyde Army, and as is Brooks Adrenaline, I think, is the other one.
That's what I've shifted to, the Brooks Adrenaline.
Yeah, they're both really nice. I don't know. It's the problem with the Beast is they're so sturdy.
Yeah.
But you are strapping on implements onto your feet that have some mass.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about, wow, are these things going to be killing me 20 miles deep, 22 miles deep? So I don't know. I'm going to try to do all my long runs in them, and I will reassess, I'm going to guess, by the end of February. And as I walk into March, I'm sorry, as I run into March,
yeah, thank you,
I'm going to have to decide, is there another stabilizing shoe I can go that might be a little lighter, a little sleeker, and get used to it? I don't know. Certainly the size of them now are perfectly fine for the cold weather. But I do have to tell you something.
That's why I'm here, Peter.
Brian, as you know,
your time has begun.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the pillow. I'm going to lay down. As you know, it was the holidays, and one of the gifts from Santa was my very first official pair of compression socks. Now, I know you are a big fan of the compression socks.
I am. I enjoy them. I think they have helped. I was having prolonged bouts of calf pain, and I think they've helped. I think so.
I'm going to say they probably have because I have now tried them. I got a pair for the holidays. And what I didn't know, and what you have not mentioned, and as far as I know, no one has told me this, but especially if you're a member of the Clyde Army, And if your calves are the size of normal people's mid-thigh.
Yeah.
You got to do the thing where you sort of roll them all the way down like stockings. And I'm not saying I've applied stockings, but I sure as heck have. So I know. I know how to get these things on. But something was happening. These are the high-end ones. These are really, really good Nike ones. You know, day glow, green, like the real deal. So I managed to get the left foot on, but I had to get horizontal to do it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
And I got most of it up over the heel, and then there was a log jam. Something wasn't given, and started to get a little lightheaded because, you know, because you're going out in the cold.
Yeah.
And it's part of the reason why I want to wear them is because right. It's going to be cold. Right. And I'm going to, I actually.
It's like another layer.
I don't know where you put them, but I was choosing to wear these under tights.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Right.
They don't go over. Do they go over? So I get the left one on.
Peter, yes, you put them under your tights. You want that to be the first layer.
That's what I thought.
On your legs, yeah.
So when I've noticed people wearing them, clearly they're wearing them with shorts, right? That's when I notice them.
Yeah, well, and also people wear compression sleeves without the foot part.
That would be much more easier to get on, I'm imagining.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, compression's compression.
Well, yeah, it is. And let me tell you, so the left one goes on, yeah. And I'm a little lightheaded, okay?
Sure you got the right size?
Well, I was looking, and it was one of the larger size. And
well, you may need an extra large.
I might need it, but I can tell you it was compressing.
But you measure by your calf.
Oh, well, width. Then I have really, I'm going to say for my height, I think I have the calves of a much taller man, Brian.
That's one way to put it.
I think that's true. So I move over to the right foot, and I take a couple sips of water. I'm getting prepped. Yeah. I didn't know this was going to be a workout. Okay, so I get that sucker on up to the ball of my foot, mm-hmm. like really wedged up. And because, like, you know, the key thing is, I think, to get the toe lined up. You want to have it straight through, because once you have it all the way up, there isn't going to be much negotiating
not, right.
You got to sort of do it right as you go.
Right, if you have a seam under your big toe, you're not going to fix it at that point.
So I get it to just to where I'm about to flip it over, this is now my right foot, and this proved much harder than the left. I was about to flip it past my heel, and I can't do it. I can't even wedge my fingers in there to shoehorn it up and over. And I'm applying such pressure, and I'm on my back, on the ground, and the cat's like sniffing my face and trying to figure out what I'm doing. And I start laughing. I start bursting out in hysterical laughter because I'm panicking. I'm panicking that I can't do this thing. And like, time's wasting. I just want to get out there. This was like day two of marathon training. I was like, I just got to be ready. I want to be able to handle anything that comes my way.
This is the first task, young grasshopper.
Yeah, and now I'm sweating. I am like profusely sweating. I'm hysterically laughing. So now I'm going to MacGyver it, right? I rip it off. I'm going to reset. I'm going to reload. I grab the Body Glide and I just lather up my foot because I'm thinking, well, I just got to pseudo lubricate this thing.
Yeah.
So I Body Glide the crap out of my the heel and the bottom of my foot and the top of my foot and the side of my foot. And it does nothing. If anything, it makes it harder to get on. I finally wedge it down and flip it up and over. It's a little askew. I have to stop. I got to wait. I got to get it straightened up. I pull it all the way up to my calf. I'm done. 35 minutes across the two. I mean, I must have been on the ground easily half an hour, out of my mind, laughing. Just hysterical. My son panicked. He was worried about me.
He should have been.
Yeah. Okay. But my point in all this is that I loved wearing them. They were really, I think they made a difference. They gave me a little pep. I felt very secure. Once they were on, I had no problem taking them off, interestingly. I mean, you got to roll them down. They come off. You can't take them off the right way. You have to inside out them as you go.
Yeah.
But I loved them. I thought they were great.
I'm a little concerned about
they might have been the wrong size. They might have been the wrong size. Now that you're saying that, I mean, I looked at the package, and the package said for size 9 to 12.
Foot size is only one measure of the compression sock. You really do need to know.
Oh, man, it's all in the calf then.
The mid-calf. and you have to see if those socks are appropriate for your mid-calf.
But I like the color. I like them.
Well, that...
And now I've washed them, so they're mine now. That's great. They're mine, and I'm going to keep wearing them. I just need to, you know, if I'm going for an early morning run, I got to wake up at 2 a.m. now. Or go to bed in the compression socks, which I think would cause me to collapse.
No, that would be fine. You would probably...
You can't wear them all day.
So one of the things that they, you know, the internet...
Oh, yeah.
Says about compression socks, sure, yeah. Is that it may be true that compression helps in recovery. So if you run a very long race,
yeah,
long training run, etc., wearing compression, not necessarily during the workout, but after the workout, may help in increasing blood flow and especially return blood from down in your feet and your ankles. And your calves.
I just want to see if I understand you. Are you saying wear them during the workout? Or are you saying put them on after the workout?
What I'm saying, I'm not a medical doctor, Peter.
Oh.
Or a doctor of any type.
I was misinformed.
But in my reading,
yeah,
what I've read is that there is some evidence that recovery of very trying races or workouts can be aided by compression.
I hear that part.
You know,
but where's the compression
part of rice?
Oh my God.
Rest, ice, compression.
But are you
elevation.
Saying I should go for a long run?
I'm not saying anything. What I'm saying is that after you go for a long run, don't rip your compression socks off right away.
Oh, okay. I hear you. Leave them on.
Stretch
for like an hour.
For a little.
Make a cup of coffee. Hang out.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, hop on the phone. Call your mom.
I think that compression has helped in that it's aided blood flow in my warm up. I think it's just made everything kind of happen faster. As I've said, I'm a very slow, warm person to warm up.
But that is absolutely true.
And so maybe it's helped there. It might just be completely psychological in that I feel a nice little massage tightness around my calves as I'm working pretty hard, and that is better than not feeling anything. So I don't know. I've worn compression shirts. I've worn compression shorts. I've worn compression socks. I have to say the compression socks are the ones that I think I've liked the best.
I wear a compression shirt on really cold days.
But the evidence is not conclusive in any way yet.
Well, I understand. My confusion was I didn't get that if you meant go run without the compression and then come home and then throw the compressions on for your hangout. I didn't get that part because I can tell you right now, if I were to go for a long run without compression socks on and then go home and try to put compression socks on.
Yeah, it wouldn't happen. Right?
I'd end up in the hospital.
No. You have to. Correct, right. I didn't.
That's all I meant.
Say that correctly. All right. Put them on and then keep them on maybe for a little while afterwards.
Well, I'll leave them on for the week because they take they took a lot of effort to get on.
I don't think they should be that hard. Yes, they're difficult, especially brand new ones. Are going to take a while to put on.
They're
you know, the discussion of hosiery, I think, has been fascinating. But more fascinating is the fact that you are now committed to running the Boston Marathon this year. You're training. Peter, you're going to be running 16s, you'll be running 18s, you're going to be running 20s. At the end of long, long training weeks. Are you ready to do this?
You know, when you say it like that, it's really intimidating.
I know it is. I just went through it a couple weeks ago.
No, I was speaking to many people about it in the last week or two. And the bottom line is I'm going to be angry at myself if I don't do it. As nervous or not as I may get, I'm going to be more upset come April 17th if I'm not doing it.
I hear you.
It's going to make me happy in the long run, no pun intended. And, you know, the health benefits, I've seen what they can be, and I could use that. I'm feeling very good. I'm a little wary of triggering old injuries, so I got to be mindful of how I'm feeling and how I'm stretching and things I do to avoid injury. And Jillian has said her door is always open for a spot check here and there, which I will probably use between now and April.
Jillian, your physical therapist.
Yeah, I have her on the speed dial.
That's great. Well, I have to say, I agree with you. My training for Millinocket, which was my second marathon, was better than Boston, even though I thought Boston was great. I felt stronger. I felt overall more fit.
Right.
The results were what they were. I've spoken with yet another finisher who was about 45 minutes behind his time. So I feel now that I did well.
You did great.
You know, we've recently spoken with another Millinocket Marathon finisher.
I want to say that he came in third overall.
Who has a different type of experience in running, in that every race seems to make him stronger and more indestructible. Unlike myself.
Yeah, no, you're broken and I worry about you. This guy is Mr. Mike Wardian, and he is a force of nature and also just the nicest guy in the world.
I would say a force of good nature.
A force of good nature. He, of course, won the Las Vegas run dressed as Elvis back in October.
All the way back in October. I think he probably ran about 20 marathons between that race and Millinocket.
Yeah. He's actually run like 3 ultras during just this preamble.
I think the number is like 47 marathons he ran in 2016.
That's crazy.
And he will list them off for you. He has some huge, huge races coming up this year in 2017.
And he's nice enough to get on the phone with us for about a half hour. So let's go ring him up. This is Mr. Mike Wardian. So tell me, Mike, you're very busy. You cast a wide net.
Try to, man. Thank you. Yeah.
And is that on purpose? Do you really just see the quantity of experience being the thing to try to achieve? What's your motivation here?
Yeah, I think I want to try to take advantage of every opportunity. And so that means that I have a lot of obligations and commitments, but I don't want to leave any stone unturned, and I don't want to say no. So I end up getting myself into a lot of things, and I love that. I love being busy. I love being engaged. I love being a part of things. And so, yeah, I think it's definitely by design, but it's also something that I'm comfortable with, and I don't take it lightly or try to not engage because I feel like it's going to take away from something else. I try to do everything to the best of my ability.
Is distance running your major activity outside of, I assume, work and family, or do you have other endeavors that you sink as much time and effort into?
Unfortunately, I probably do have other things besides running. I think a lot of people see the running. I spend an absorbent, ridiculous amount of time trying to be good at fantasy football. and it some seasons it works out. This season I ended up only coming in, I was in 5 leagues, and I ended up in the Super Bowl of only 1 league. So definitely for the amount of time, the return on investment was not there. I also am a really avid and excited chess player, so I'm trying to work on my game quite a bit at that also. And I'm definitely, I had a point in the year where I was improving, and I think I've regressed. So I don't know what I'm doing differently, but I'm not seeing the board as well as I should. So there's a lot of things, and then trying to be an engaged parent, and you know, working and trying to do the best I can with my running and endurance and coaching, and you know, I'm a fitness ambassador for the State Department, so like trying to honor all those obligations. It's a lot, but it's also super awesome. So I wouldn't give up anything.
Mike, that's like 5 to 10 full-time jobs. I gotta know, what is it in your daily life that you don't do? You strike me maybe as someone who does not watch TV, or maybe is very disciplined about their schedule and sleep patterns.
Yeah, I'd say the thing I don't do, or my wife is sitting next to me and she'll probably say, is I'm not a terrific sleeper. So I think that's where I definitely make up some of the time. And then we don't watch it. Ton of TV, but there's I definitely find time to catch up on on stuff when I'm on the treadmill. I've been doing a lot of treadmill, getting ready for a lot of these crazy, ridiculously awesome races that I got signed up for this year, like the Hard Rock 100 Miler and the Western States 100 Miler, and also the Barclays Marathon. So, and then I'm of course doing like Tarawara and the Ultra Trail Australia. So, races with a lot of vertical. And living in Washington D.C., I don't have really the ability to get outside to the mountains per se. They're not just in my doorstep, so I end up doing a lot of stuff on the treadmill. And so I am definitely up to date on a lot of the TV shows, and I think it gives me an opportunity to make sure that I'm up to date on The Man in the High Castle and all the shows that are out. Like, I was really into Vikings, and I don't know, trying to stay engaged with pop culture to some extent.
Did you watch Stranger Things?
Oh my gosh, yeah, totally. I love that.
It was
movie.
So good.
That mini series.
I think for people of a certain age, that was
right in our wheelhouse.
Well, it's almost like, have you guys? Did you guys ever read that book, Ready Player One?
Yeah, no, totally. It has that feel to it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm reading the second one right now. It's called Armada, and it's really interesting.
I'm a little nervous about that movie because they're making it right now, Ready Player One, and I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I agree.
So you mentioned the treadmill, and I'm just curious because we have sort of a love-hate relationship with treadmills in our sphere. What's the longest workout you'll do typically on a treadmill for the kind of preparation you're trying to do?
The longest one I did previously was about 4 hours. Typically, I go anywhere from an hour to 3 hours. This weekend, I'm planning to try to do between 5 and 10,000 feet of vertical on one of the days. I don't know if it'll be Saturday or Sunday, and that'll probably take 3 to 4 hours. Definitely there'll be time to watch a feature film and a bunch of videos, and then leading back to my fantasy football, I watch a lot of the inside the NFL and the highlights to try to make sure that the guys that I'm picking up and aren't terrible or anything.
Or any of like 24 quarterbacks in the NFL this year. There's only like 2 left.
Oh my gosh, I know. Well, and the worst part is, like, I was in a 2 quarterback league, and I had Tom Brady at the beginning, and he was suspended for a couple games, and so I ended up trading like Marcus Mariota because he had a couple bad games at the beginning of the season, and then he started lighting it up, and I was just like, oh, come on. And I had like anyhow, I could talk about fantasy football all day.
Well, I had a question. Any one of the races you named for this upcoming year, the Barkley among them, would be for me personally, and I think a lot of our listeners, like the triumph or the biggest goal bucket race, whatever you want to call it, of an entire lifetime. And you're banging off, you know, 5 or 6 of them in any given race season. And so the question is, when did you realize you were able to do these types of races and do a lot of them? I haven't run since Millinocket. I'm still recovering from that frigid, wonderful and awful race. I'm excited to get back to it, but how do you know you can do that? How does that happen?
I think I've always been interested in seeing if it was possible. Like, even when I first started, like, I did a half marathon, and then I did my first marathon, and then in Marine Corps in like 1996, and I just wanted to qualify for Boston, and I ran Boston in 1997, and then I thought, well, I'll just do all the big races in the U.S. and then I'll be done, and I'll go on to do something else. And so I did Chicago, Marine Corps, New York City that fall, and everyone was telling me, oh, you're crazy, you can't do that. And I was just like, well, I'm just gonna see if I can. And then I heard about the JFK 50 miler, and so I did that too. And I was just, in each one I got stronger, and I felt better, which was weird, right? Because usually you'd think like, oh, you're gonna wear down. And that's when I kind of knew that I had the ability to do a lot of races. I didn't really know what I was doing, but I was just kind of excited about exploring what were my limits? What was I capable of? Like, cause everybody's different. Like some people, they can race incredibly well, like twice a year. And then there's other people that, you know, can race 10 times a year. And there's other people that they can race every weekend, you know, and I guess I fall maybe into that latter category of, you know, my body allows me to do that. It's been super lucky for me. Like I've been able to stay relatively healthy with only one little block of time in 2012 when I ended up with 5 stress fractures of my pelvis and 5 hernias and had to take 4 months off. But then I was right back to racing and I ended up doing in 2013, I think like 38 races. And this year I did 47 different events. And, you know, I'm like, oh, should I try to get 3 more in just so I can have 50? And I was like, I don't know, man. Maybe this weekend. I don't know. We'll see. But I was like, I think 47 is a good amount for the year. And, you know, I might do a 50K on New Year's Day, but my next big challenge, I don't know if you guys know, I'm going to do a 6-hour race in Florida, which I've never done a 6-hour race. So I'm kind of excited about that with the Running Depot down there in Fort Lauderdale area, on my way to do 7 marathons in 7 days on 7 continents. So that's going to be a pretty epic challenge. And for me, a really once in a lifetime type thing. Like I'm in a lot of these once in a lifetime type events and the pinnacles of, I mean, I feel like this year is probably going to be one of my most incredible years coming up. Like I felt like 2016 really was an incredible year with the World Marathon Majors and the Elvis World Record and winning the Great New York 100-mile race, doing 300-mile races in like 29 days and just, you know, doing a lot better at UTMB this year. And I just... I don't know. I thought like, wow, this is going to be hard to top. And then already just if I can make it through my schedule that I've got, I think it'll be one of the most, I don't know, incredible adventures I've ever had.
Honestly, just reading your schedule is a workout for me.
Well, and I don't even have everything on there. Like I've really been pretty diligent about not really making any plans after Hard Rock. Like I'd like to think that I could go to UTMB, but I'm still trying to figure that out. And so really my last like for sure thing I know is Hard Rock in July. And then that it's kind of weird. Like I keep getting people asking me like, what am I going to do? And, you know, requests from races and just like, really awesome stuff. And I'm trying to be diligent about not scheduling everything too soon, just to make sure that I'm not dead on the side of a mountain somewhere. I've been trying to get into like some of these races for a really long time. And like, when you get in, you kind of have to say yes. And, it's incredible that, you know, I was able to get into Hard Rock. It took, you know, 5 or 6 years of trying and, I couldn't be happier. And then I knew I wanted to do Barkley. I've been like saving like a license plate for, I don't know, almost 10 years. And this was the year where I finally felt like I had the skills to maybe give it a go. Like I'm sure I'm gonna learn that I probably need to get a lot more skills, but it's something where I thought it'd be really cool to try. And then Western States, I mean, if you get a chance to run that, you don't really pass it up. And then, I don't know. Every like Tarawara and Ultra Trail Australia, I've been wanting to go to for a couple of years. And so like all of it just kind of leads into a super stacked, amazing year. And yeah, man, I don't know. I'm working as hard as I can to make sure that I'm ready for it.
Mike, for those of you, or for those who are listening who don't know, how old are you?
Yeah, so my name is Michael Wardian, W-A-R-D-I-A-N, from Arlington, Virginia. I am 40, 2 years old. I'll be 43 in April of 2017. And I have two boys with my wife, Jennifer, and they are Pierce and Grant, and they are 10 years old and 8 years old. And they go, it's pretty cool. They get to travel a lot with me to a lot of these different events. And so I think that's one of the neatest things is to get to share the world with them and expose them to all these different cultures and places and events and that they know that, like, I didn't even know that you could be a professional runner or athlete or anything like that. So it's cool for them to get to meet Olympians and professional snowboarders and surfers. And I don't know, it's really, for me, opened my eyes up to what's possible. And for them too, I mean, they know that there's videographers and photographers and people that do this amazing stuff for their livelihood. And you know, when I was growing up, I knew doctor, lawyer, teacher, you know, fireman, and I don't know. I think that's really cool is to give them those experiences. Like, we were just at the State Department today, actually, having lunch with one of the ambassadors, and they were looking at, you know, maps in one of the oldest federal libraries in the country, and I think it is the oldest. And like, those are experiences that, like, you can't have. It's just incredible that running has given us these incredible opportunities. And I don't know, I feel super thankful.
When did you feel that there was a shift going from a guy who runs a lot or enters a lot of races to what you've called, you know, I think you've just described a pretty unique lifestyle of running around the world and having the opportunity to raise your family up in these experiences. Is it very, very recent or gradual, or was it a goal of yours?
I think it's been organically percolating, really. I mean, I think I'm always, even when, you know, I wasn't with the means and the support that I have now through sponsors and individuals and different venues, and I didn't have the success, I guess. I was still interested in travel and exploring and that kind of stuff. And I think that as I grew in the sport and kind of was able to produce some you know, bigger results, that I was given more opportunities and was able to execute on those. And then I don't know, I think that I try to keep it fun too. And I think that people appreciate that. Like, you know, I did the world record with Pierce in a jog stroller and dressed up as Spider-Man. And I just set the world record as Elvis and set world records on treadmills and running around on tracks. And I'm not afraid to do stuff that, that's different, I think. And I think that's given me a lot of opportunities and, experiences and something that allowed me to be seen by more and more people. Really what I'm hoping to do is inspire other people to, you know, do something different or something a little bit outside of what they're comfortable with. And, you know, I think a lot of people can relate to me because I have a lot of the same obligations and responsibilities that they do. Like, I'm not, you know, a hermit that runs 200 miles a week and lives in the mountains. I, you know, have a job and have to go there and find a way to get workouts in, commuting or on the treadmill. Or
I have to say, Mike, that when we met briefly in Millinocket, I had assumed your beard would be down to your knees. So I was a little disappointed in the beard length.
Well, yeah, I'm well, you're lucky I had a beard at all. My wife is not a huge fan of beard, so she's been very nice to put up with it as long as she had. I kind of tricked her when I went to the North Pole and ran the marathon there that I would just grow it to help me not get frostbite. And then I kind of loved it. I didn't actually think I could grow a beard. And so I'm still in the initial phases, you know, a couple years later that, like, I can't believe I'm able to have this scraggly stuff on my face and that it actually grows kind of crazy at some time. So you'd be disappointed, actually, since Millinocket, I've actually trimmed it up quite a bit. So you'll see in the pictures I've posted lately, it's actually, it looks pretty tame at the moment.
Both Brian and I are turning 46 this year, and I think a lot of our listeners are sort of in middle range of their career of running, let's say. We came to it rather late, actually, but I was curious if you could talk a little bit about things that you noticed in the last, say, 10 or 15 years of your running that you know you've had to change, and especially any nutrition advice.
I think what I've been able to do is change my training and get basically the same results. So like what I mean by that is before I had the injuries, so I think of it more like that rather than age, but I think it is applicable as I was in my late 30s when I had the 5 stress fractures of my pelvis and 5 hernias. And that was something that I had to deal with and realize that, you know, before the injuries, I would run 100 miles a week or more every week. Like my foot would be falling off and I'd be like, okay, well, you better fall off because I'm still going to run 100 miles and it's going to be all sub 7:30 pace and it's going to probably be sub 7 pace and that's just what's going to happen. And now if I run 60 miles one week and 90 miles the next week and 120 miles the week after that, that's fine. Like I don't worry about it. You know what I mean? And I think that's been something that's been different. And then I guess I've become a lot more flexible after the injuries. And I think that has something to do with age for sure. Is like if I'm not recovered and Tuesday is my track day, then I would just won't go to the track. And actually, I've been really not doing as much speed work as I had earlier in my career. And it hasn't really impacted the results that much, which I found interesting. But it's something that I want to pick up again because I do like having that strength from the speed work. But also, like, I've noticed that I've become a lot stronger on climbing and trails and being able to like be out there all day. And so that's helped a lot with the longer 100-mile races. And I don't know, I think you just kind of have to adapt to where you are. Like, and that's what I think is interesting too, as you get older, like say you don't recover as fast. And I don't know if it's that, I just don't know if you have so many other obligations, or at least most people as they get older, they have more and more stuff that they're taking on. It just takes you more and more away from the training and you just have to find that time and make the time for it. So I think that's been more of an issue rather than like, oh, I feel old. Like I don't actually ever, that doesn't factor into my thinking at all. I feel like, oh, I have, you know, to take the dog or go to Cub Scouts or coach or whatever. And I think that's more of it than an age thing for me. I don't know if that answers your question, really.
No, that makes a lot of sense because, right, you have, life can creep in here and there as much as you let it, or and it's not bad things. A lot of times it's great things.
No, it's amazing things, yeah. I mean, and I wouldn't want to do all that just to get, you know, an extra workout in, right? Like, I feel like the workouts are important and like I want to be at the top of my game and I want to be competitive and I want to throw down, but I also want to do all the other things. And so that's where I've noticed it I just feel like I'm taking on more and more stuff. And I think that just happens with people as they age. They just have more and more obligations and responsibilities, and that's why it's so cool that we even get to do these things.
Factoring all of that in, I'm really interested to know if you work with a coach or if you are really self-trained.
Yeah, so I'm actually self-trained, so I coach other people. But I do it all myself, and so I like think about what I want to do each week and what I want to accomplish, and then I go out and try to do it. For me, it's been really successful, and I've had a lot of good results that way. And I feel like I'm going to keep probably doing that until I reach the point where I'm not getting the results that I want. And then I might look into, you know, seeking other people's input and advice. But I'm always, like super interested in what other people are doing, and like I'm a geek about listening to podcasts and staying up on reading about what other people are doing and always talking to other elites and seeing what they're doing. And so like, and not even just elites, but just regular other people, which I think is really interesting, like to see how other people fit it in and what they're into and, you know, kind of what's got them interested and excited, from yoga to army crawling to bar classes to CrossFit. Like all that stuff excites me and interests me. It's just, for me, running is one of the most efficient ways to get a workout in. That's one of the reasons I love it, is you can do it anywhere, and it's pretty, like, you wouldn't think so looking at my basement, but it's a pretty easy, not a lot to it sport. But then, you know, there are things that make it better, like, you know, you have tools and multiple shoes for different conditions and compression stuff and different nutritional stuff, and all that stuff helps. But at the end of the day, you really just need some shoes, and you can go out, do your sport anywhere, anytime, and there's no real, you don't have to worry about if the pool is open or the gym is open or anything like that. So that appeals to me.
We know you have to get going off dinner. One last question in regards to this coming Boston Marathon in April.
Yeah, man. I love that race. That's the whole reason I started running.
Is that right?
Yeah, totally. I just wanted to do the Boston Marathon once.
And how many times have you done it now to date?
I was joking with somebody like a week ago. We were talking about that. You know how you, I don't, do you ever, when you fill out the questionnaire, do they always ask you like, is this your, you know, how many consecutive Bostons have you done? And like, I always like, I don't know. How many has it been? I'm not sure, man. I think I've done it maybe 10 or 11 times. Wow. I just do it every year. Like, every year I can do it, I do it. So I've only missed it a couple years. I really didn't keep good notes at the beginning. And now I keep like super detailed like spreadsheets with like how many people are in the race and I don't know where it was and how long it was. But like when I first started, I was just running. I didn't really, care. And no one cared about what I was doing. But now it's a lot different. So I'm a lot more detailed about keeping track.
When you come into town, does friend of the show Chris Heisler put you up in his house, or does he get you a room at the Westin?
Dude, he does not. He and I've talked about that, and he's awesome, dude. But he and we saw each other in Las Vegas. We both dressed up like Elvises.
Right.
But yeah, no, he hasn't hooked me up yet, man. I'm waiting for the Westin call, but I haven't got it yet.
I'm pretty sure you're gonna get one now.
If you know the right person, let me know, man. I've stayed there before, and that one is a super, like, they're always nice, but the one particularly in Copley is super nice. So yeah, it's this year I'm I think we're taken care of with some friends, but I'm always, that's one of traveling with the family, that's one of our biggest expenses. So I was actually joking, like, I'm really hoping, I'm trying to find the right people at Airbnb to see if there's a way that they're interested in sponsoring an athlete. Like, I'm all in on that.
Nice. Well, when you come into town, if you have 10 minutes, we'd love to get you in person and sit down with you if it's possible. I know it'll be a busy weekend.
Oh my God, yeah, I'd love that, man. I will definitely be in town and doing stuff, and you know, maybe I can tell you what I got going on. I'm not sure I'm allowed to say anything yet, but I think it'll be pretty cool, and there might be an opportunity to do something really fun together.
Now, that race is April 17th. Is the Barkley just after it?
No, the Barkley's just before it, actually.
Ouch.
Man.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Well, we might see you in April.
Yeah, no. I'm definitely going to be there. And actually, I talked to some Barkley finishers. Not finishers, Barkley, he was close to finishing, actually. He went to the fifth loop, so,
wow.
And he said this guy John Kelly, he's a local dude, super super talented, and I just had like probably a two-hour talk with him yesterday, because it's been really neat. Like, since I got in, there's been so many people that have taken pity on me and given me advice, and so I've been super lucky to have been able to reach out to Charlie Engel, and I got John Kelly, and I'm actually supposed to talk with Jared Campbell, who's the one of the only three-time finishers.
Yep.
And my buddy Gary Robbins has done the race, and Jameel Curry, and people have like been pointing me to all these like resources and books and you know, saying like, you know, what you need to do. And even the race director Laz has been super generous. So they're definitely putting me in a good position to do well. But this guy, John Kelly, the point of the story is he did Barkley last year, made it to the fifth loop, and then he ran and set a world record at Boston, actually dressed up as a, no, he was Link from Zelda. So like Zelda, a yeah. video game character. He set a world record. He ran like 2:56. So I figure, like, you know, this dude, if he can throw down a good time, then, you know, hopefully I'll be able to do so also. And yeah, he was saying that's like when you're doing it, it's one of the hardest things that you've ever done in your life, and it's going to break you in a million different pieces. But the nice thing is that, you know, you recover pretty quick, is what it sounds like, because you're just getting destroyed, but you're not killing yourself, right? Bonus. I don't know if that makes sense.
Oh, like, no, that makes
like you're not
sense.
Like running 135 miles on the road or something. Like you're mm-hmm. hiking up and down right. insane mountains.
Never mind, they're not
done. And you know, trying to find stuff in like snake dens and I don't know, like freezing cold and like lost in the woods type stuff.
That sounds like perfect training for the Boston Marathon.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Like, so hopefully the Newton Hills won't kill me like they usually do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, usually I get there and I'm like, okay, I'm super ready for this. I'm ready. And then we get to that little climb where you go across the overpass and you're like starting to get into like the real hills. And I'm like, my legs just come apart and I start losing like gaping amounts of time. And I'm like, every year, how does this trick me? Like, I know it's coming. I've prepared for it, and still I get my butt kicked there. I'm like, why? I still don't understand that, but I love it.
real quick, bonus question: Would you run a race dressed as a Star Wars character? If so, what Star Wars character and what race?
I would totally do that. I think now it might have to be Princess Leia, since she just died.
Yeah, good one.
Just to honor her memory. And I've got the hair for it. I think I could do the buns.
Yeah, the hair you could do. Yeah.
Yeah, I could do it. I don't know. I might have to shave, though. But yeah, I think Princess Leia would be a good one. What do you guys have next?
I was just writing out my schedule, actually. I have a few races. Nothing until June. I'm doing the North Face Endurance Challenge because it's here locally in the Boston area.
Oh, yeah. I think that's the first year they're having it up there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's at Wachusett Ski Mountain. So that'll be pretty fantastic. And then I'm looking to run two more in Maine, the Mount Desert Island, and going back to Millinocket.
Oh, so you're going to go for the Sea to Summit, right?
Correct, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
And I'll be joining you in the Boston Marathon running for Spalding Rehabilitation.
Oh, fantastic.
But I will not be anywhere. You'll be finished, actually, just after I start.
Peter Mike might already be starting another race while you hit Heartbreak Hill.
Yeah. And it's a little too far out and you have way too many things in between, but do you think you're going to go back to Millinocket next year?
Oh, man, I would love to. Yeah, I think so. It depends. Like I think I said this year, but it always depends on when our youngest son, Grant, he just turned 8, but it depends when his birthday gets scheduled. So, as long as his birthday is not the same weekend, then yeah, probably. And I actually love to bring them up for it. I thought it was really touching. Like the community was so giving, and the beauty was just, well, amazing. Like what really, really stunning, beautiful place. And I'd like to try to explore the mountain too. So
absolutely,
that's something that's on my long-term bucket list is doing the Appalachian Trail. I keep joking, like, if I ever get fired from my job, like, I'll do that.
Well, if we can tempt you, we run a little 2K the night before.
It's called
the Crankle 2K, and I'm pretty sure you'd win. So,
is it before the Millinocket?
Yeah, it's a little shakeout.
Yeah, it's the Friday night before, and we do it right down Main Street, the Penobscot Ave there.
Oh my gosh, yeah, man, count me in. So if I can make it back, which hopefully I will be able to, yeah, I'd love to be back. I had a great time, and I thought it was exactly what I was hoping it would be. Like, I felt like we did a lot of good was done, and a lot of people really benefited from it. But they also shared themselves with us. Like, they were there and supportive, and like, it was pretty moving. And yeah, I'd love to do whatever I could.
Well, Mike, thank you so much, and have a great rest of this holiday weekend. Happy 2017.
Oh, thank you guys.
And we're excited to talk to you in a couple of months.
Thank you, Jennifer, putting up with this.
Yeah, exactly.
She can't hear you because I have you in the headphones, but I'll tell her.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so much, and we'll hope to see you, if not sooner rather than later, we'll see you in Boston.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
You know, Brian, it takes chatting with a guy like Mike Wardian to realize that me running the Boston Marathon for a second time this year is going to be just like whatever. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
Well, aren't you going to be joining Mike for the Barkley prior as your last training run for Boston?
Oh, is that? Yeah, that's. I'm going to schedule that.
That's the new regime. Yeah, it's a new training regime.
Just throw a 120 miler in there.
I think the distance is the least of it, my friend.
I think so too. If you're interested in finding out more about Mike Wardian and check out his cool, cool schedule and have your mind explode because it's unbelievable, you can check him out at MikeWardian.com. That's MikeWardian.com.
Hey!
This has been episode 60 of How Was Your Run Today with Peter Villa and Brian Gould. Music by Jeff Cronenberg. Anna Brooks is our social media guru. Andrea Bonnie Gould is our artist in residence. And a very special thanks to Michael Wardian.
Listen to us every week wherever you collect podcasts. Peter keeps his in his compression socks.
Oh, wait, that totally explains it now.
Yeah, that's why they were so tight.
Yeah.
But whenever you visit that special podcast place, please give us a rating and a comment. Every single one of those makes a difference in how this little here show is ranked.
Join us every Saturday on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram with your Sat Stat Chats. Tell us where you ran, how the weather was, and try to include a sweet, sweet photo.
Fulfill all of your HWYRT shopping needs at our Redbubble store.
And if you love HWYRT, please share our posts on social media. It's free and easier than fighting off Barkley Marathon cave snakes.
Cave snakes, is that a thing?
It is now.
For everything else, please go to HWYRT.com. Hey, Peter.
Yes, sir.
Have a great training run.
I sure will. I'll see you out there on the course because you're going to be handing me a burrito.
I love burritos.
Kylo Ren had a pretty cool lightsaber.
Kylo Ren's not in it.